Let's imagine that you have two people in front of you. One of them doesn't keep any Torah mitzvahs, zero. But he's a proud Jew. Everything about him, he walks around, screams, "This is a Yid." His friend keeps every halacha, kal v'chamura, but you can't tell a thing on him. You can't tell a thing. He's totally assimilated with the people around him. Doesn't look outwardly like a Jew. And the Mesh Chachma says that these two Jews were the two Jews in the days, were the Jewish nation in the days of Mitzrayim, of Galus Mitzrayim, versus Galus Bavel. The Yidden of Mitzrayim, as we know, did not keep the Torah much. Whatever they had, they didn't keep. Bris Milah, Avodah Zarah. But they were Mitzuyonim. Outwardly, they looked, they talked, they walked around like, they dressed like Jewish people. And they were noticeable as Jews. On the other hand, during the period between the first temple and the second temple, which was Galus Bavel, which is the period where the miracle of Purim happened, they kept the Torah. Haman says, they kept the Torah perfectly. But there was terrible assimilation, social, like cultural assimilation going on. They started talking other languages. They changed their names. They started using non-Jewish months. And there was a lot of actual intermarriage. A lot of them, by the time Ezra went up to the second Beis HaMikdash, Yilson, you know, Jewish lineage was not very simple at all. But if we think about the challenges that they faced in those days, you know, at the second time of the early second Beis HaMikdash, there was 18 takanos that the Anshe Knesset Gedol made that were designed to sort of put barriers and separate the Jews from the non-Jews and make it easier to live in a Jewish framework, you know, culturally. This is before that. So there was no gzera on yaynes, on stam yenam, yaynak, you know, drinking non-Jewish wine, oil, bread. And it was very difficult for them to live in another person's land. They'd lived for 1,000 years close in their own land. Now they were in a foreign environment, and there were no rails. Rabbi Kamenetsky used to give like a depiction of what it used to be to live as a Jew in those days. So this is what their Shabbos looked like. There was no Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur was not instituted yet. There was no Kriyas HaTorah, not instituted yet. So instead of spending a couple hours in Shul, they would go to the store because the Shavuos of Mekach Memkar was not yet instituted. There was no Muksa. They would just be careful. They would buy cash, not credit, because they didn't want to write anything down. They could have unofficial relationships, temporary relationships with non-Jewish women. They could have children from them. The Gzera of Nashgaz was only instituted in the middle of the second Beis HaMikdash with Malchus Chashmenai. So it was very hard to stay. And you can imagine, they're walking a tightrope over here. You know, you couldn't publicly, you know, the Farhes is Kanan Pagambay, and Chasnus, to have an official marriage with a non-Jew would be a problem. But there was definitely some room to walk the tightrope. Now, perhaps we could add that there was a conscious decision here on the part of the Jewish people that we now is a moment where we need to be assimilated. There's a certain purposefulness. If you think about the attitude of the Jewish people in between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, you'll find like three different attitudes that people had. There was one camp that said, that was full with rage at the Bavlim and people that destroyed our homeland. And they said, "Ashrei sheyeches v'nipeitz el alayach," will take their babies and smash their heads into the rock. And you look at through Eicha, you see, "Va'ila lomek asher alaltali." People were furious. Those people, no danger that they were going to assimilate. Then there were the people that said, "Let's go all the way. Let's near." You know, they came to Yechazkel and they said, "We have not. The agreement's over. We're done." The Aseres HaShvatim, you know, they went down that route. And the Jews that went to Mitzrayim went down that route. Yechazkel told them, you need to, you know, the deal is still on. Then there was a third camp, which seems to be the majority, because Haman did say that they were all Shem and Torah mitzvahs, that said, we're going to keep the Torah, but we have to be pragmatic. We can't live like we've just lived. Nobody stuck up for us when people tried killing us. Karasilam Ahavai Himarimuni. Everybody that we thought was our allies were not real allies. So we need to create blood relationships. The Pasuk in Eicha says that Yirmiyahu Navi says, Ki ata asis Hashem, you made this Holocaust. Because if you would have allowed me to marry into them, to party with them, and you separated me from them. So Hashem, you created this Holocaust. So there was a decision, perhaps, that never again. We need to create blood relationships that these people will be our kids' grandparents, uncles, cousins. If something happens again, we're going to have real, true allies that will be there for us to fight for their flesh and blood. They kept Torah mitzvahs, and they engaged in maybe these relationships that were very hard to walk that tightrope. And we know the final result is they went off the rails. And when Ezra tried to bring them up to Eretz Yisrael, there was very little, you know, there was a lot of assimilation. Now, if all this is true, we could very easily appreciate the nisayon that the Suzas Achashverosh was to those people. They were all about building bridges. Let's make connections. This is the survival of the nation. We can't emphasize our differences. We have to. This is a perfect opportunity. This is the Chayvas Hashem. We have to engage in this. But if the king says we have to bow down to Haman, well, we're going to stand to the side and no, we don't do that. We can't stick out. The truth is that this did not, the outcome wasn't what they thought. The Medrash says the reason why every half-decent Persian woman, or really woman in the whole empire, was locked away in the king's Beis Hanashim is because there was an attitude toward the Jewish woman that nobody's going to want you. Everybody said, the Jewish women are like dirt. Nobody's going to want you guys. And this was like a cultural thing that everybody looked down at the Jewish woman. So Midah was, all of your women are going to be locked away. And I'm sure it was very frustrating for, you know, besides for the woman, for the people around. The first people that kept Bishul Yisrael was the people of that empire, says the Medrash. What does that mean, Bishul Yisrael? If a yid cooked in a kli, they wouldn't use that vessel. It was opposite of Bishul Yisrael. They were so disgusted from the Jewish people. We see that this it didn't have the effect that they thought. But this was the line of thinking that we need actual friends. Now here's what I want to ask you: the Yeshua, the Savior of the Jewish people, how did it happen? It happened through an intermarriage. It happened because we had somebody in the palace that had a real relationship, a marriage relationship with a non-Jewish person in power. Money doesn't help. That's what they were saying all along. Influence doesn't help. It's only this intermarriage that could get us out of our dangers. This can't be happening. Well, this is not the right message to take out of my Esther. So, I don't think anybody today believes that that is the message from Purim, and that should be the message from Purim, that we have to create these strategic, you know, relationships. But Mazel is also like him. Why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem make that the nation was saved through an ugly intermarriage? To I want to add another question, which is maybe related but different, that my Rebbe Reb Gershon Rebner asked. He said, shortly after the Nes of Purim, Klal Yisrael went up to the Beis HaMikdash, and whoever wanted was free to go. The only person that was not free to go was the Balas HaNes, the woman that created this miracle. She was stuck with Yisrael Rasha, and she was probably locked in the palace. She couldn't go up. She was stuck with the Sein Yisrael. And as he says, according to Waman Da'amar, he was even a tippish. Besides from being a Sein Yisrael. And she was locked in this golden birdcage. So people say there's this kever of Mordechai Esther in Hamadan, Iran. Something about that sounds fake. Why was the royal queen buried with her old husband? I don't know about that one. But so he says a beautiful answer. He says that it's mivur in all the Midrashim and the Targum Sheni that Esther's job was to fix up Shaul's Avera. What was Shaul's Avera? Right, that's what Mordechai says. V'atu veist avich tevedu. If you don't fulfill your mission, you and your father's house will be lost. your father's house is because she came from Shaul. And this was her one opportunity to correct that. So what was Shaul's Avera? Right, Parshas Zohar is coming up. We just spoke about killing Amalek. He did not kill the animals of Amalek, which was the mitzvah of the time. He says, He wished to keep them alive in order to bring karbanos. He wanted to engage in an uplifting Aveda at expense of the word of Hashem. And Shmuel told him, you have to listen to Dvar Hashem. Leave the uplifting Aveda for another time. That was his Avera. Now, the tikkun for that Avera, to correct that Avera, was to engage in a terribly distasteful form of Aveda that is Dvar Hashem, that is what Hashem wants from her at the time. And that was it's not a form of Aveda that any of us wish on anybody. But that was her ticket to fix up the Avera of Shaul. There's a story of Zusha Anipolia and his brother Blaim Malchum Lezhensk that they were locked in prison. And I don't know which one was dancing and which one was crying, because the guard put like a big bucket of waste in their cell because he knew that they couldn't learn or daven with this bucket in it. So one of them was like dancing and so happy, and the other one was so sad. He said, why are you sad? The same Hashem that told us that we're supposed to learn said that we're not supposed to learn now. This is our avodah, not to learn. So they both started dancing around the bucket of waste. And the guard's like, what? This I never saw. These people are crazy. I'm taking the waste out. And then they got to learn. But this idea that if this is Aveda, as distasteful as it is, that's what we have to invest in it and dance with it and be satisfied with fulfilling the word of Dvar Hashem. And this perhaps is why the Yeshua came through an intermarriage. This was her Aveda. It was a terrible thing. She got Aster to Mordechai. She got Tumas Zayna and Tumas Chalala. But this is what Rabbi Shalom wanted from her at the time, to fulfill, to be misakin the Avira of Shal. So he writes in that we should all be zeichet to fulfill the word of Hashem in an uplifting way, mitzvah kedusha and dveikus.